Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 to 2, and verses 15 to 18, and various laws. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the entire assembly of Israel, and say to them, 'Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Do not hate a fellow Israelite in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly, so you will not share in their guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Matthew chapter 22, verse 34 to the end of the chapter. The greatest commandment. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" "The son of David," they replied. He said to them, "How is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? For he says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' If then David calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" No one could say a word in reply, and from that day on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. So I declared.
Thanks be to God. Now, who likes following rules? Many people instinctively say no. They want to be free to do what they want. They don't want to be constrained. But oddly, we also get nervous and anxious when we don't know what the rules are, when we're cast adrift in an unfamiliar situation. I don't know about you, but my TV and newspapers are full of programmes telling us the new rules. Many of them opinions just made up by journalists for navigating modern life. We seem to want to know what the rules and the boundaries are, even if we then decide to ignore them completely. Well, the book of Leviticus is really a book of rules. And our reading starts with the reason for that, the underpinning. Be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. In other words, don't obey these rules because you like rules or you want to be a good person or you're frightened or you're uncertain or something. No, the idea is to do what God wants. To be like God. To be holy. And the word holy means separated, set apart for God, different to those people around you. It's probably, I think, why a lot of anti-Semitism started, because people said, those Jews, they're different, they're odd, they're strange. They're a people set apart on their own. But a question for us is whether we want to do that. Do we want to please God? Do we want to be a people set apart for him? Leviticus gives various laws, similar to the Ten Commandments, but more detailed. In the first five books of the Bible, the Jewish Torah, including Leviticus, Jewish tradition lists 365 negative commandments, one for each day of the year, the rabbis used to say, and 248 positive ones, which the rabbis claimed is the number of bones and main organs in the human body. I haven't counted myself, but sounds reasonable. It wasn't one of the verses included in our reading, but verse 12 is an explanation of blasphemy. Do not swear falsely by my name, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. That's one of the Ten Commandments, of course, but explained a little bit more in Leviticus. Taking God's name and using it as a casual swear word. You hear people saying, Jesus, Christ, Jesus Christ, God, oh my God, OMG. That's probably the most common one these days, isn't it? When people are surprised by anything, they say, OMG. This is blasphemy. Just imagine taking something really valuable like a diamond ring or a precious family heirloom and stamping it into the mud. We've had plenty of mud, haven't we, with last night's rain? Or imagine someone attacking and beating your sister, or treating your child with casual contempt. It's a bit like that. The Muslims are much more careful about this than we are, speaking the name of God with great honour, treating the word of God with great respect, and treasuring it, being horrified at blasphemy. We may not like their violent reaction, but I think the motive actually puts us to shame. Leviticus goes on to say, do not discriminate or show favoritism. Well, I think we could agree with that, couldn't we? Do not gossip and spread slander. Do not hate others or seek revenge. They're all very practical and everyday commandments. Love your neighbour as yourself. I am the Lord. And that's the connection with the reading from Matthew. It's Jesus' summary of the law. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbour as yourself. Actually, preachers used to make it a joke. Did you know Jesus said, hang all the law and the prophets? How shocking. Well, what he actually said was, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And these two commandments, of course, are Jesus' summary of the law. Love God and love your neighbour. I've been reflecting, actually, particularly on holiday, what I would like to leave as the legacy of my ministry here, how I would sum up what's really important. And first, I would say, make sure you stay close to Jesus. Treat your relationship with God as top priority. Because to be honest, nothing else really matters. St. Paul puts it in Romans 8, chapter 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? So we need to work out what brings us closer to God. What works for you? What increases your love for Jesus? For me, it's reading my Bible, very appropriate on Bible Sunday. Listening to good Christian music and thanking God for all the good things in life. For you, it may be other things like great art and poetry, or the glories of nature, or times of prayer, or Christian testimony. I've actually been reading Bede's History of the English Church, written about 600 AD, one of the earliest books in English, and full of stories of miraculous healings by St. Columba of Iona and Lindisfarne, and St. Sed down the road at Bradwell-on-Sea and others. Find out what brings you closer to God, and make sure you do that. And then when trouble comes, you can put yourself in God's hands, confident in Jesus. That's the first thing. And the second thing I would say, especially to vicars and active Christians, is love people. Pay attention to visiting, calling, phoning, emailing, keeping relationships well oiled and healthy. In our society, it's become very easy and tempting to stay at home with television and Netflix, to lose time on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, to deal with each other by email and text message. But we actually need each other. We are made to be sociable, even the introverts amongst us. So make the effort. Take the first step. Don't neglect your neighbour. A visit, a handshake, a hug, they mean so much. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, love one another." And as Ian pointed out, we've just sung that song, quoting those very words. "This is my commandment, a new commandment, love each other." So it's no surprise that I've actually come to the same conclusion as Jesus. First of all, love God, and second, love your neighbour. The Bible is God's manual for life, and people work best when you follow the Maker's instructions. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for Scripture. Thank you for the guidelines that you have given us there, the commandments to follow. And we ask that we might be a people set apart for you, a people holy to the Lord our God. Help us, Lord, to love you and to love our neighbour. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.